Welcome to the Relatable Finance Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joseph Carl and Shane Phillips.
Hello, this is Shane Phillips, co-host of the Relatable Finance Podcast and financial planner with Providence Wealth Advisors, a full-service financial planning and investment firm. We have another amazing guest today, Chris Rotto, who, besides being a husband and father of two amazing girls, is a director for Jackson Health Services in operations for ambulatory services. Chris was born and raised in Miami, and I knew he would be a great source of information to go behind the scenes during the last 7 months of COVID, both at work and within his household. Let's welcome Chris to the podcast. Hello, Chris. Thank you for being with us today on Relatable Finance.
Thank you, Shane. I appreciate the invite.
So as everyone has heard about Chris's current job being in the healthcare field, I thought it'd be great to get a little more insight from you, from some talks we've had in the past, from some of our group chats we've been in. It's certainly been interesting to me to hear kind of behind the scenes, to go along with everything I've been reading. So if you just want to just tell us a little bit about your current job, the current preparedness that you guys have for everything that continues to go on now that we're all the way into October already, and call it still hopefully getting near the end of COVID, but who really knows at this point?
It's kind of all kind of escalated towards March, at the beginning of March, towards the end of March, and as a health system, I think as far as our responsiveness, I think we did a really, really great job as far as leveraging a lot of our resources in the community, and in order to get enough PPE, which I know was a huge topic throughout the nation. And also preparing for spacing for patients. I mean, although I didn't work directly at bedside with a lot of the patients that came in, I was more on the employee side where I managed the employee testing center for the health system. It was interesting just to see how we were able to respond so quickly. We were able to create an area for testing within a week's time. And, still currently we still have that area open, and here we are in October. And although you mentioned, hopefully we're reaching towards the end of this, the reality is that this is probably going to be here forever. It's going to be here for a little bit longer, as we enter the fall season, which is our flu season, right? Now it becomes the unknown, right? I mean, a lot of people are going to be concerned that some of the symptoms that they do have are COVID related, when in reality it might be the flu. Typically our colds increase in the fall, which heighten fear for a lot of folks. But it's been a pretty interesting 7-8 months or so, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's interesting. And again, your perspective, handling some of these things is interesting, because from my reading, I never read about, employee testing. Obviously, it's something I kind of knew that was going on, or maybe heard about it, but something like that, being able to put it together so quick is something that I'm sure you guys saw a lot of early on, call it back in the March. I mean, everything was so new. But if just compare and contrast, where you guys are at now versus March, again, I would think that the whole system is better able to handle things now than back then. So even if we saw another rush, hopefully from a medical perspective, you would be much better able to handle all those cases. Is that the case?
Definitely. I think the purpose of obviously the employee testing was because we realized that if we don't have a healthy frontline, how are we even going to be able to treat, our community, right? The patients that come into us. But definitely, I mean, from where we were in March to where we are at today at the beginning of October, there is definitely a comfort level that we at least understand what we are dealing with. And I think there's definitely heightened awareness. There's just working alongside our infection prevention team, and they've been able to help guide us as far as appropriate PPE that we should be wearing versus PPE overkill versus wearing it appropriately, right? Like, so a lot of folks think wearing gloves is the right thing to do, but in reality, if you don't appropriately remove those gloves or disinfect those gloves, it can spread, very easily. Our employee testing has significantly decreased from where we were, March, April, And when it spiked up in May and June to where we're at today. And again, I think, although I mentioned that we have a comfort level with what we're dealing with, it's definitely still uncomfortable at times because we are seeing a lot more people coming into our health system these days. And although we are taking the appropriate measures and appropriate steps to keep everybody safe, you can't let yourself slip. Like, you've done this well for so long. For this many months, and just one little 5-minute mistake could open you up to potentially getting the virus, right? Like, so you have to always keep reminding yourself, like, hey, although our numbers are decreasing, although we're at a better state, we're not out of it yet. So yeah. That's something that we have to continuously remind ourselves.
Yeah. And you make you mentioned something that made me think about this going on and on and on. I mean, back in March, I think a lot of us thought this would be a 2-week thing, a month thing. And now we look back and we're in October already. I mean, and maybe this is more of a personal question, or mean, speak to some of the other employees about just the amount of stress. I mean, having stress for a week is one thing, a month is another. And this is a finance podcast. We talk about the same thing from businesses. If businesses are struggling for a week or a month, that's one thing. But the longer it gets, the more it weighs on them. I mean, what in general is morale like for you, for the others you work with? Is this something where it's kind of the new normal, or is it still where it's you go home every night and you're ready for bed?
Yeah, it's one of, since it is a finance podcast, right? So let's think about that for a second. Yeah, everybody, let's not sugarcoat it, right? Everybody struggled, I mean, financially during this. I mean, you had businesses being closed, you had families struggling to put food on the table, and just thinking about that, I mean, was stressful in itself. We didn't know. Like, we didn't really know. Our health system did a great job in keeping us updated, and they've done a phenomenal job in being able to not impact anybody, directly with any furloughs or layoffs and things like that. And I'm sure everybody's heard in the news, but still the stresses of the unknown, of what's next. And it was very stressful, Shane. I mean, morale, though, I can tell you that I think this is something that's definitely brought us closer together as a team. I mean, you basically took folks from what they were accustomed to doing, and you put them in an area just solely to focus on this, on COVID. And, people had to learn how to test. People had to learn how to process specimens. People had to learn how to register these patients. We had runners. We had a bunch of folks, and I can tell you that the team that was with us was just phenomenal. Was just phenomenal, right? Like, and I think just everybody kind of coming together and that cohesiveness. It just, at least, it made me look at the team in a different light. Yeah. And I think. I think everybody kind of looked to their right and looked to their left, and it was one of those moments like, all right, let's do it, guys. We're in it together here. From the doctors to the clinical staff, to the clerical staff, to everybody, environmental services, just everybody kind of coming together. In my opinion, I don't think this health system has ever been closer than what it's been.
And you kept on saying team there, and I just remember getting those group texts that we're involved in. And I remember you saying that a lot. It wasn't like, I'm so stressed, or I'm doing this or I'm doing that. Everything was, our team has been doing this. Our team is doing well. Team's learning so much. So it is, I mean, obviously a terrible situation, but I think there will be long-term benefits that come from something like this, even if it's terrible now that we're in it. But things will probably definitely change. And hopefully we can keep some of these things, like washing our hands and keeping this clean would be an incredible upgrade for the future, I think, in a lot of different situations.
Simple things, man. Just washing your hands. That's all people have to remember to do.
I mean, I remember, I was just talking to a friend about this. The first time it hit me is when the NBA shut down. And I know you're a big Heat fan, but I was at the gym and I heard that the NBA was canceling games. I went straight to the store, got soap, and I got like a gallon jug. I'm like, this is gonna last me, 6 years, and it's gone already. So precautions have been taken, and I'm washing my hands if that means anything.
The whole world shut down. Yeah. That's crazy. Like, you know, it's nuts, man. It really is nuts. Like, everything has changed kind of forever. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, and it's unfortunate that we still have so many unknowns. I mean, you just don't know. I mean, we hope to one day, and it will. I mean, one day this will become something like, you know, similar to just flu season, you know, where we'll have some of the world's population, you know, hopefully get a vaccine, and that'll help limit the risk and exposure of it. But until we get that, I mean, realistically, we just have to be very, very cautious and very careful. And that's kind of the stresses about things, that we haven't gotten that yet. And I know that folks are working very diligently and long hours and hard to obtain that vaccine, but we're kind of where we're at until we get that.
Yeah, no, it's crazy that it's been as long as it has been. It seems like it's been years, but in reality, it's only been, you know, 7 months. So everything's still very new. So let's cross over a little bit to your personal life. As we've talked, you know, it has been a stressful situation. At the end of my workday, you know, I live by myself, so I can do whatever I want, really. I can go lay on the couch or I can take a nap or whatever. Your situation's a little bit different at home. That may be, you know, a little bit more going on. So just if you want to clue us in a little bit to everything you got going on at home and maybe how you've handled that throughout the last 7 months.
Yeah, you know, I have two beautiful little girls at home that are, one's about to be 5 and the other one's 2. And then I have a wife who's obviously a school teacher. So when this hit in March and everything kind of shut down, it was complete chaos, man. You know, I had, my oldest was in school already at the time, right? So it was the unknown of, okay, if we're going to just go to home learning, how do we do this? Like, she's a wizard with an iPad, but how the hell is she going to sit there for X number of hours trying to learn numbers and letters and colors?
Yeah.
And then obviously then my wife also had the stresses of, okay, we're in March, school year doesn't end until the end of May. Or she has students who are graduating, going to high school, right? They're supposed to be preparing, going to high school. She teaches at a K-8 center. And then, you know, we have to finish the school year is what she kept saying, right? And it's not as simple as we could just shut it down and that's it. There's still end of year testing. There's still preparation that needs to go on. Kids were still in the midst of taking entrance exams for high school, stuff like that for those kids who are going to continue going to private school. And that was stressful, man. You know, she had to figure out how to get online learning set up. Meanwhile, having a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old at home. 4-year-old grew up really fast in having to look after the 2-year-old. I promise, if the Department of Children and Family picks this up, there was always adult supervision in the home. But nonetheless, they made it work. But really, and she made it work. I mean, God bless her, right? Because it's not like I was home. You know, I had to be here for a lot of hours. And you know, the wishes were that I could be home to help her out during those times. But the reality is that, you know, my responsibility was here at the time, right? And it's, I think the most challenging part, at least for her, and I think a lot of other parents will tell you the same thing, is when you have a 4 and a 2-year-old, it's hard as it is. When you have a 4 and a 2-year-old at home from March all the way until August when school picks up again, and you can't go out anywhere with those 4 and 2-year-olds, it can become really, really difficult and really stressful. Despite how cute and how much you love the 4 and 2-year-old, they will drive you up a wall, man. And really, it was challenging for them too, as, you know, as the kids, because they really had no idea what was going on. You know, my 4-year-old, I think now will tell you that, yes, I know, Daddy, coronavirus and all this stuff, right? Like, you know, and she has since gone back to school. You know, the Archdiocese opened up about 2.5 weeks ago, and she's gone back, you know, with social distancing, and she's done very well. You know, she wears her mask all day. It's very different, she tells me, but I think just her being able to see her friends, you know, it's incredible. You know, my wife has gone back to teaching in a classroom setting. Now there's other challenges that she's going with because it's a hybrid learning. She has some kids that are in class and she's lugging along a laptop to do virtual learning, and it's just it's been very challenging. But honestly, as much as we get talked about as like healthcare heroes and stuff like that, in reality, you know, like teachers have done a lot, you know, and they've gone through a lot. So
it's kudos
to her.
Yeah, I mean, and I've heard story after story of just the struggles of how difficult it is. And when you hear parents having kids home all day, every day for a while, I keep hearing, you know, these teachers are angels for handling these kids all day, every day like that. But yeah, I mean, thinking of a 4-year-old and as unaccustomed we are to all this, what it must be like for them, you know, why have we not left the house in 2 weeks, in 2 months? I mean, I keep saying, you know, 5 years from now, when we look back at all of this and we're COVID free, and there's going to be some very interesting stories. It truly is a crazy time. Thank you for sharing. I know you have had a lot going on at home, and I know you guys are handling it well, based upon the fun stuff you and the girls are always doing on Instagram. So
and we've been very blessed, you know, thank God, you know, we've been very blessed that at least we have the ability to have a backyard and, you know, to provide for them, you know, toys and stuff like that. It's, you know, although it's been challenging for us, you know, and for the girls, you know, it's always a reminder that it could be more difficult and more challenging, and, you know, it always hits home, you know. And they understand, thank God, you know, they're very understanding and they get it. But, you know, it's always a reminder that, you know, there are folks that are going through much more difficult times than us. Right. Yeah. And and that puts everything into perspective, that, you know, we've been able to be healthy and to remain healthy throughout all this and remain employed and, you know, we've been able to live a somewhat normal life. Normal in these terms for the last 7 months.
Chris, thank you. I mean, thank you for everything you do from the medical perspective, your wife, like you said, all frontline workers. It really is, you know, amazing how everyone, and I think you kept on saying it, everyone's pulled together in all these different areas. It's been a very tough time, but again, we everyone thanks you for that. And I thank you for being on the podcast today. Appreciate all the insight.
Thank you, Shane, and thanks for giving us, you know, some of us folks an opportunity to at least talk about it and being an ear for us, you know. So thanks, Shane. I appreciate it.
Provenance Wealth Advisors is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Provenance Wealth Advisors and Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Any opinions are those of Relatable Finance Podcast and PWA, and not necessarily those of Raymond James. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. There is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecasts will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision and does not constitute a recommendation. Investment involves risk, and you may incur a profit or loss regardless of strategy selected. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Investing involves risk, and investors may incur a profit or loss. Raymond James does not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Future investment performance cannot be guaranteed, and investment yields will fluctuate with market conditions. Any examples given in the podcast are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary.